Well, just put that down there. Today is the final instalment, as Phil mentioned, in our Why Gather series. And if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you'll remember we've been working through this series because what we want to do is develop a really rock-solid why for gathering as the people of God. That is, we want to get our motivations, our reasons really solid and on track for why we do this every Sunday. Why do we gather like this? And the reason we've done that is because we've noticed that actually our gatherings, just as pretty much along with almost everything else in life for that matter, has gone a huge interruption in 2020. So you'll know this is school, work, just life in general, but certainly church has been interrupted this year. And we've noticed also that the gatherings that we have now as two congregations with COVID restrictions, all the rest of it, they're very different from our pre-lockdown gatherings. And they're likely to stay different for a very long time. We've also noted that all of this means that we might find that gathering as God's people might become challenging for us in the coming months. In fact, some of you might find it challenging already. And so with all of that in mind, we thought, well, what we need to do is we actually need to develop a really strong, rock-solid why if we're going to make it through and stay healthy as a church. We need strong, deep, meaty motivations that will withstand all of the challenges that I just mentioned. And so what we did was we kicked off and we looked at the fact that actually, really, first and foremost, we gather for the glory of God. It's not so much about us or any other human at all. It's actually about bringing glory to God. That's reason one. We looked at that in the first week. In week two, we saw that actually it's also good for us to gather for the sake of one another. And actually, our gathering together helps us make disciples for Jesus. So that's a great reason to gather as well. But after week one and week two, you might be thinking, well, what about me? Yeah. What about me? Do I have anything to do with gathering? I mean, it's me that's getting out of bed and showing up here every day. Does it actually have anything to do with me at all? It seems, Dave, that you're saying that gathering's about everyone but me. It's about God. It's about other people. What about me? You know, is it about me? Do I get anything out of it at all? Well, guess what? This week is all about you. That sounds good, doesn't it? All about you. Because what I want to show you this in this final week is actually that gathering is essential for you. It's essential for your own spiritual health. So yeah, we gather for God's glory. Yes, we gather for one another. We gather for the sake of others and building disciples for Jesus. But gathering is also about you and is actually essential when it comes to your own spiritual health. Well-being. That's what this week's all about. It's all about you. So let's just get straight into it. And what I want to do is I just want to give you three key reasons for why you coming here every Sunday or every Sunday that you possibly can, because I know you can't necessarily be here every single one, but every one that you can, why you should make every effort to be here. And the first reason is that gathering actually encourages you and it helps you to stand firm as a Christian. It's one of God's key means for encouraging you and helping you to stand firm as a Christian. So we'll just take another look at those verses that Phil read out in Hebrews 3. I know it was a short reading, but gee, it's an important reading. And I want us just to dig into those two verses. Normally at some of these, we look at bigger Bible passages, but today we're just zeroing in on a couple. Hebrews 3, 12 to 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, again, just before we get stuck in, it's important to remember the context of this letter. And we did look a little bit at this last week because we looked at Hebrews last week as well. And just to remind you, or if you weren't here last week, basically the letter to the Hebrews was written to a bunch of Christians who, it seems, had a Jewish background. So they were in the religion of Judaism, but the gospel's come to them. They've turned to believe in Jesus and now they're Christians, okay? The problem they're now facing, though, is that the people around them, perhaps in their community, are putting a lot of pressure on them to go back to the ways of Judaism. Yeah, they want them to chuck in their faith in Jesus and go back to Judaism. So really, the letter to the Hebrews is giving them all of these wonderful reasons for why they should stand firm in the faith. And it's full of just all kinds of great tips on how they can help one another persevere in trusting in Jesus. Now, here in chapter 3, we get one of those key tips. Right, that's what these verses that we've just read are all about. It's a key tip for how you stand firm. And what you see there in verse 13 is that key to us persevering in the faith is the encouragement of other Christians. You need the encouragement of other Christians. Now, I think as modern Western people, we often would prefer that not to be the case. Because in our culture, we actually pride ourselves on things like self-sufficiency and being independent. And we really value individualism. Okay, that is that I, as the individual, am the one that's in control of my life. It doesn't really matter what everyone else is doing or what they do. It's all about me. I'm the one that can control and be in charge. And that's a thing in our culture that we love. We love this sense of control. We don't like the idea of having to be dependent on others. I want my faith just to be about me. This, it doesn't need this. It's just this. Okay? I'll make it work. The thing is, what you see in Hebrews is that actually that's just not how God has made us to operate. And culture and the Bible tend to clash a little bit. Because one of the key ways that God has given you to help you stay strong as a Christian is the encouragement of other Christians. Just take a closer look at that passage. And what I want to look at is that word "but" that's there in verse 13. Look at that word, but. It's often these little words in Bible passages that are really key to helping you get to grips with them. That word, but, is very important because the word, but, that's a contrast word, isn't it? Don't do this, but do this instead. Yeah. So it's a way of contrasting two things. So what's it say? It says, don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from God, but instead, in contrast to that, encourage each other. Can you see how that works? The encouragement of others is the thing that stops us from having sinful, unbelieving hearts. Or look at the words, so that. There's another key little sort of, like a conjunction, a little kind of word set there that really helps you unlock the meaning of a passage. So that, verse 13. Now, those words, so that, they're result words, aren't they? They show you the result of something. Drink water so that you stay hydrated. Yeah, see how we use that? If you want the result of being hydrated, then you need to drink water. The so that gives you the result. So let's apply that to our passage. Do you want to make sure that you're not hardened by sin's deceitfulness? Is that the result that you want? Well, if that's your result, then you need to do what comes before the so that. And what's that? Well, it's be encouraged by Christian brothers and sisters. See how it works? We need the encouragement of others. Being a Christian is not something that is meant to be done alone. It's like tennis. Anyone like tennis? I don't really like tennis that much. But if you do, and if you've been watching when's the Australian Open? That's in summer, isn't it? Sorry, you wouldn't have been watching that. But, you know, tennis, it's designed for two people. If you've ever tried to play tennis by yourself, it's not very fun, is it? Yeah, Christianity is the same. It's designed for more than one. It's not an individualistic enterprise. God hasn't designed it that way. So what does Hebrews give us here? Well, Hebrews prescribes a daily dose of this encouragement. Okay, so I'm guessing that most of us are already pretty undernourished in this regard. If you think about it, if the prescribed dose is once a day, we're a bit undernourished, aren't we? And look, that could be the topic of a whole other sermon, but we won't go right into all of that. But I'm guessing that most of us really these days schedule probably at least two times in our week where we really prioritize this encouragement of others. If you get more than that, fantastic, good on you. As you say, that the prescribed dose is once a day, so if you can get more, go for more. But most of us, I'm guessing, would schedule at least two. Probably our GC meeting during the week, and then Sunday. Now, here's the big question I want to put to you. Given that most of us are operating well under the daily dose already, here's the question. Can you really afford to ditch one of the big two? See how that works? If you're actually already under the daily dose, can you really afford to ditch one of the big two that you have got scheduled in? Yeah. Given that two is already under the recommended daily dose, can you really afford to ditch Sunday and reduce it down to one if you make GC and none if you ditch that two? Yeah. So surely the answer to that is no. And I'm guessing that most of us have actually felt the effects of that in our lives. Indeed, maybe some of you are feeling the effect of that in your life right now. Because here's the thing, often when you haven't been to church for ages or you haven't had that encouragement of other Christians for ages, you start to find yourself struggling, don't you? Suddenly your doubts get worse. Slowly but surely, sin starts to feel easier and you find it easier to give into it. You might find that you stop growing and you feel like your faith is kind of just stagnating. And God sort of, I don't know, it just sort of seems to feel more and more distant, and then you start to wonder, well, gosh, is he even really there at all? And then suddenly living as a Christian seems a bit silly, and it seems to make far more sense to live for money or career or leisure or whatever else it is. See, if you don't meet regularly with other Christians, you're in a dangerous place spiritually, because meeting with others is one of God's ordained means for keeping you strong in the faith. And if you decrease what is, for most of us, already a low dose, then you ought not to be surprised if you start to feel a bit spiritually sick. See, a malnourished faith becomes a sick faith very quickly. And a sick faith can get terminal. See, the more you're away, well, the harder it is to get back in the habit of going. And so then you get a bit spiritually weaker, and pretty soon you're down to once a month, and soon it's, well, once every other month. Not long after, it's a couple of times a year. And before you know it, it's never. I've seen it happen way too many times. It's interesting, Hebrews 2 talks about people drifting away. That's the language it uses. It's the language of a boat drifting out to sea. It gets used in that sort of context. And I've got to be honest, sort of over the 20-odd years I've been doing ministry, that's generally how it works. It's very rare that Christians have this amazing radical conversion to atheism or something. Like, oh my goodness, I've seen the light and Richard Dawkins was right all along, and this radical kind of conversion. Very rarely do I see that happen to Christian people. If Christians are going to throw the faith in, it's always a slow drift, just gradual, bit by bit. Just the way that the tide, you know, takes a dinghy out if you haven't tied it up properly. Just bit by bit by bit. Just incidentally, this is also why it's a disaster to ditch church when you're struggling. Okay. Now, I know that's kind of counterintuitive. That's super counterintuitive, isn't it? Because when you're struggling with doubts, or you're suffering, or whatever, often the last thing you feel like doing is being around everyone in a place like this on a Sunday morning. But here's the counterintuitive thing. Often it's at times like these, when we're feeling weak, that we need one another the most. See, whether it fits with your Western sensibilities or not, you need to accept the fact that you need the encouragement of others. It's how God made us. If you want to have a strong, vibrant, passionate, growing faith, you need to gather. It's the first reason why you should gather for your own sake. The second reason you should gather is because gathering helps you listen to God's word. That's the second reason. Now, I know listening to God's word is important for you at Summer Lees because it's one of our core values. It's one of the core things that we really believe in here. We believe that the primary way that God grows his people to be like Jesus is through them engaging with the scriptures that he's given us. Yeah, it's as the Holy Spirit takes the scriptures that we read and rubs that home in our lives and then helps us live it out. That's how we grow. Yeah, so we need to be hearing the scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit to take the scriptures, work it out in our lives, and that's how we grow. Now, you see this throughout the whole Bible, okay? It's a big biblical theme. We don't have time to do a massive tour of the Bible and for me to show you all the verses that speak to it. I'm just going to show you one. It's really the classic as far as I'm concerned. It's a great memory verse, this one. So if you don't know it, it's a good one to sort of marinate in. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, let me ask you, do you want to be thoroughly equipped to live as a Christian? Well, then you need the scriptures because that's what thoroughly equips Christians. So the Bible is just so foundational to our Christian lives. And this brings us to yet another reason for why these gatherings are so important. Because for most of us, these gatherings are the most significant time in our weeks where we engage with God's word. And as a church, we deliberately set it up that way, don't we? We actually give a massive chunk of our meetings over to the preaching of the word. It's the thing that we spend the most time doing, isn't it? What's more, as a community, we jointly spend tens of thousands of dollars every year, pretty much the bulk of our budget goes on this, to support two people who have been trained to degree level in teaching the Bible. And then we take all that money and we spend a massive chunk on and freeing them up to spend most of their working hours planning, thinking, praying, and preparing to teach the word at these gatherings. Now, I'm really glad we do that. And not just because it gives me a job. That you might think that's why, but it's not just because it gives me a job. I'd be just as glad as if we got someone else who could do a better job than me. Why? Because God's word is worth that. It's that important. It's worth having a big gathering over. It's worth combining all of our resources, our time and our energy and our money and all those things to ensure that we can have a meeting like this where we delve deeply into the word of God and think about it. But none of this will do you the slightest bit of good if you don't gather. I think a really good parallel is the whole gym and fitness industry. Okay. Imagine, right, that you decide you want to get healthy and you want to get in shape. And so you find the best gym in Hobart, right? You search, you do all the research and you found it. It's the best one. It's got the best personal trainers. It's got a masseuse from Sweden. It's got a nutritionist. It's got everything. And you sign up and you start paying your monthly fees and then you never go. Now, it doesn't matter how good the gym is, it's not going to do you the slightest bit of good, is it, if you never show up? And church is the same. You really need to be here to reap the benefits when it comes to studying and understanding the Word of God. If you're here regularly, you will get way more out of the series. Because so often, each sermon builds on the one that came before it. So in a couple of weeks, we're starting a series in the book of Galatians. Now, Galatians is a letter. It's an argument. It's an unfolding argument. Each chapter builds on the stuff that Paul writes in the chapter that comes before it. So if you miss a couple of weeks and then show up and then miss another couple of weeks, it's a bit like trying to drop into a complex TV series on Netflix or something halfway through. You might enjoy the episode, but you won't have the whole story. You get so much more out of it if you can go episode by episode by episode. I mean, even think of this little mini-series that we've done. It's only 3 weeks, but if you've missed two out of the three, you're going to get the wrong idea, aren't you? Because if this is the only sermon you hear, you could be mistaken for thinking that showing up to church is all about you and nothing else. Now, of course, we've seen that that's not true. It's only the third reason. But in addition, hearing the Bible taught well, hearing it taught regularly, will also help you in all of those other contexts where you study the Word of God, whether it be by yourself or with your kids or with your wife or your husband or in GC or with your work colleagues or wherever it is that you like to study the Bible. If you hear regularly and you're hearing it taught well, it's actually going to equip you and help you to study it well by yourself. Because you're going to get the big picture. You're going to get a feel for how to look for the words like but and in order that. You're going to get a feel for how books fit together, all that kind of stuff. We need to show up because when you gather, it really helps you listen to God's word. All right, one last point. Final reason for why gathering is so good for you is because gathering keeps you connected. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but being lonely and being disconnected is really bad for us. Really bad. And I could go on. It's terrible, isn't it? As people, we need to be connected. We need to be included. It is literally physically bad for us if we're lonely and disconnected. Now, of course, when you read the Bible, you can see that makes sense because, as I just said, God didn't make us to be little individuals all off on our own. He made us to be community. He made us to be with one another and with Him. And, of course, church is a wonderful remedy for that. But once again, it can only ever be an excellent remedy for it if you're here. See, people can chase you and call you and do their best to invite you to stuff, but at the end of the day, the simple truth of the matter is that if you're not here, you will start to feel disconnected. You feel as though you won't really know what's happening with other Summerlees people because you're just not really seeing them and getting that contact, and they won't know what's happening with you. You'll miss out on that feeling that we get when we come here of being something, being part of something bigger, that we're all in it together, that we've got each other's backs. And you just can't help but start to feel a bit more on the outer, on the fringe. See, church is really one of those things that the more you put in, the more you get out. The more present you are, the more involved you are, the more you will reap. Yeah, the benefits come when you feel connected and engaged. I've been in many different types of ministries now across multiple denominations and states of Australia and even countries. And it's interesting, you know, like in all the ministries that I've been in, I've actually met people who say that they're feeling really lonely and really disconnected from church. And often I'll ask them, well, are you regularly at church? Is that a priority for you? Do you engage with the small group meetings and the bits and pieces? Are you going to the stuff that the church puts on? And so many of them over the years have said no. Not all of them, but so many of them, the vast majority. And when I have those conversations, I'm left like, are you seeing a link there in any way? To return to that gym illustration, it's like you sign up to the amazing gym, but you never go, and then you complain that you're not getting any stronger or fitter. There's not a mystery there. One causes the other. It's not a complicated problem. If you want the gym to do you physical good, you've got to go there. And if you want to feel connected at church, you've got to show up. Lots. Because getting to know people and feeling connected to people doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes regular contact. It takes quantity time. Yeah. Now, I know there's some of you that, well, probably quite a lot of you actually, particularly if you've grown up here and you're well connected in Hobart, that there'd be a lot of you that actually don't rely on church for your social inclusion. Okay, many of you have got big family networks and friendship circles, so being lonely isn't a major risk for you yet, and you're probably not dependent on church to deal with that problem with you, to help you with that problem. But I want to put it to you that even if you don't need church on a social level, even if you don't need that, I still want to say that actually being connected to church is important even for you. And the reason for that is because being connected here directly affects the quality of the encouragement you receive when you come. Okay? And this kind of feeds back to that first point in a way. We come here for encouragement, but the encouragement quality is directly impacted by your connectedness. Yeah. See, the more connected you are with others and the more that others are connected with you, the more you'll feel like you can share with people, tell them about what's going on in your life. And the more you share with other people, the more people will get to know you and the more they'll share with you. And the more that people know you and the more that they're sharing with you and you're sharing with them, the better equipped they are then to encourage you. Can you see how that works? It's hard for them to encourage you if they don't really know you and don't know anything about you. But if they know about you and you're sharing stuff with them, well, then they can jump in and do that encouraging stuff. See, it might be that you listened to point one about church being an encouragement. You said to yourself, well, when I come, I'm not very encouraged. Well, I guess what I'd want to ask you is, do you come regularly? And when you come, do you work at connecting with others? Because the less you come and the less connected you are, the less you get out of it in terms of encouragement here at church. There's a really direct correlation between your level of connectedness and the level of encouragement you'll receive from being here. Your gathering helps you feel connected. Well, that's the final ingredient to our big Why Gather series. We've seen that we should gather for God's sake, we should gather for others, and we should gather for our own sake. And now, really, at this point, it's kind of over to you because I've said everything I need to say. And I guess what I want to ask you right now, right here, is what you want to do with all of this stuff. For some of you, I hope you're really encouraged because if you're someone that really does prioritize these gatherings and is consistently trusting God with your time and your energy to be here, I really hope that this sermon series has encouraged you to keep that up. You're not wasting your time. It's really worthwhile. You're doing the right thing. The sacrifice is worth it. What's more, I know that for many of you, you make a big sacrifice to be here each Sunday. I know that some of you have got serious physical health issues that you've got to fight through just to be here. I know that others of you do battle with a black dog every Sunday morning and you have to fight off mental health issues to be here. And that's really difficult for you, but gee, you're doing the right thing. I know that still others of you have to navigate very tricky and often sensitive family situations to be here. And sometimes maybe it's even a source of issues for you in your marriage or with your kids or whatever because you want to be here and perhaps you've got a partner that isn't supportive of that. And if that's you, I really hope that this series has reinforced that the weekly battle you fight to be here is so worth it. You're doing the right thing. I know it's hard. But I want to encourage you to keep fighting, keep trusting God with it, keep going. It's worth it. But maybe up until now, church hasn't been a huge priority for you. And when you get past the excuses or whatever, really these meetings are just a long way down on your priority list. And that means that the church is just subject to a better offer for you. And if that is you, then I hope that this series has shown you that it's really worth changing that. And I'd love to encourage you right here and right now, by the strength and conviction that the Holy Spirit is giving you, even as we're speaking, to make that change. To make that change. Why not this morning make the call? Make the decision. Decide to really commit to this new congregation. And in the coming months and years, and even if things do get hard, and even if we do get fed up with the COVID stuff, and even if things aren't quite how they were, still make that decision to be here and make it a real priority. And I don't want you to do it for me. I want you to do it for God's sake, because you want to see him glorified more and more. I want you to do it for others, because you want to see them grow as disciples of Jesus, and you being here plays a key role in that. We saw that last week. And as we've seen this morning, I want you to do it for you. I want you to do yourself a favor, because it's the best lifestyle choice you could ever make. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you haven't left us alone. We really do think, just take the moment to think of those Christian brothers and sisters that live in places, very closed countries that are very hardened to the gospel, or where the gospel hasn't penetrated, and where they would dearly love a church to gather with, but they just don't have it. And that just helps us see that really what we have here is so special. It's such a gift. And we ask that you would help us not to take it for granted. Thank you that you haven't left us just to battle on in the faith alone. Thank you that you've given us one another, and that by giving us church, we have the means to be encouraged, to stand firm, to press on, and live really healthy, strong lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would use this series to just really strengthen that resolve and commitment and motivation to being here. Father, it's been a really hard year. It's messed us around in all kinds of ways. It's messed up our lives. It's messed up our church experience. And what we've got now, it's not the same as what we had. There's lots of changes we're adapting to, and there's lots of reasons for us to want to give up in the coming months. But we pray that if things do get hard, and if the evil one tries to tempt us away, or tempt us to give up and chuck in the towel, that you would draw us back to this strong, concrete why that we've been building over the last 3 weeks. Would you implant that in our hearts and our minds? And would it be something that just fuels us and helps us to stand firm and stick at it despite the challenges? And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.